Now, if you grab your Bibles, please, the book of Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 4 this morning. Exodus chapter 4. We've been talking about, right now, the call of Moses. And Moses has been called, and Israel is heading home. And it's a reminder for us that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And that call into our lives of following Him. And part of that is that separation from the world. And I think that's really kind of what's going on as we look at this country, what's going on. We've been praying for the petitions were passed out the last few weeks of trying to get onto the ballot here in Maine for taking away the taxpayer abortion that our state is putting the fact to put that on the ballot. And that petition failed. They didn't get enough signatures for any of those to go through. And I'll be honest, I was shocked. And so I was kind of, did you ever get kind of in a funk? You know? And I was just like, you know? And I was talking with Mark, who had talked to some folks from the Civic League, and they said there's a lot of churches who did not even want to touch the issue. They didn't even want to talk about the idea of abortion. Like I said, I don't think that's a political issue. I think it's just a moral issue. Anytime you look at the scriptures and it talks about the baby in the womb, it talks of it as a person. It's a personhood issue. And at least to get it on the ballot, I was heartbroken. I really was. And then I get into this kind of, you know, where's this country going? And it's like, oh, then, I don't know about you, but I'll, you know, then your mind starts going down that road. And I need to stop and realize that, you know what, Lord? Come quickly. And even as we look into this world and what's going on in our heart, my heart needs to be desirous of heaven. It needs to be desirous of home. Regardless of what's going around me, right? And it's so easy to get sort of comfortable here. We see Israel became comfortable in Egypt. And yet, through the circumstances, Israel's hearts turned. And actually, Egypt turned on Israel and ended up making them slaves. And they called out to the Lord for deliverance. And I think in the midst of kind of what we're going through here, we see that cry out for deliverance. We see God's people. I think more people have been praying for various situations. And those prayers are not in vain. As we call out to the Lord, He hears us. And that's a good place for us to be as Christians, to be on our knees before the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances, no matter what happens on the other end of things, all I can do is what I can do. And at the end of the day, I say, okay, Lord, I've done what I can. I lay it down at your feet, and we ask you to work and you to bring a blessing on this. Last week, we talked about Moses went out and he saw the burning bush, and God revealed himself to Moses. And in here, he realized how God is a holy God. He's a powerful God. He's a God who hears, and all is a reminder of who He is. And I think sometimes as Christians, we become sort of detached. We, if our eyes are on this world, we've taken it off Jesus. And then when I get my eyes off Him, I forget sometimes who He is. And when I turn my eyes off the world, and I turn them onto Him, I'm always encouraged and blessed because we serve an awesome God, a marvelous God, a powerful God, regardless of all this. And I need that refreshment. And Moses yielded himself to God. We get into chapter 4 and we have this call going out. And we're going to pick through and look at Moses and he kind of wrestles with God. Have you ever done that? You ever felt like God kind of pricking your heart or the Holy Spirit in your life leading you towards something and you kind of resist it? And for various reasons, right? Especially when you feel like the Lord wants you to do something and you're unsure of it. Right? You ever felt that way? Maybe God wanted you to say something or maybe God wanted you to do something. And you're kind of like, now, my wife left the room, so I can, you know, because I do that at the house, you know. I'll come in and I'll sit down in the chair, and I have my chair. And I'll sit there and my wife's like, oh, will you do this for me? And in our house, the cupboards are all really high. So I don't know if you guys had a giant for a pastor before or not, but the parsonage, the cupboards are pretty high. And so I'm constant. My wife will say, hey, you know, come in here. Will you put this in? And for some reason, I don't know why, we have these glass bowls that all kind of stack up. And they're about halfway up there. So they're like this level. My wife's like, I can't lift up and get in. And so it's my job. You know, I'm useful around the house. I am the spider killer. If the spider to be anywhere in the house, a cry goes out. And I am Spider-Man. And I go and kill the spider. And I'm the bowl man. Right? You know, and so if my wife ever goes to the little plastic Tupperware bowls, I know divorce is coming soon because I'm not needed anymore. But she'll get these, you know, we have these glass bowls and, hey, will you come and do that? And I'm sitting in my chair, I'm like, yeah, I'll get it when I get up. And she goes, are you not going to forget it, are you? No, I'll do it. And you know what usually happens? I like to say I forget, but usually it's 10, 12 reminders later. Yeah, I didn't do that yet. Before bed, it's like all the things that I kind of piled up. Because, you know, I've gotten my eyes off. And I come up with all these excuses. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And when the Lord asks us to do something, we're, you know, I'm busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And Moses, you know, think about this. He came to the burning bush, and here it was on fire, and he saw the awesome power of God. And in light of such awesomeness, Moses' reaction should have been, okay, yeah, okay, no problem at all. But Moses does what we often do. And if you go to chapter 4, we're going to see how this translates into us. Because Moses turns around and he starts focusing on his doubts. Right? Here he is. God's calling him to deliver Israel, to go back to Egypt. He's been away from home for a while now. He's been gone for, you know, he was 40 when he left. He was shepherding for 40 years, so that means he's 80, yeah, hooked on math worked for you, right? 80 years old now, and he starts doubting all these things coming in his life. I want to take a look here, Exodus chapter 4, looking at the first two verses here. It says, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And then he said, cast it onto the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hands. So furthermore, the Lord said to him, put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, and listen to your voice, you shall take water from a river and pour it onto dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on dry land. Moses starts up with the excuses. Right? And I love this because he comes up with, suppose. Right? Suppose this happens. Right? What if? You know how many times we get haunted by the doubts of all the what ifs? Right? What if? What if they don't believe me? You know, maybe the Lord wants you to be a bolder witness, or he, maybe he wants you to do something, and he turns around and you're like, oh, what ifs? You know what? We can what if ourselves to death into doing totally nothing. The Proverbs, I love it, turns around and says, a lazy man says there's a lion in the street and therefore doesn't do anything, right? What if? What if I go outside? What if I get attacked by a lion? Well, that'd be really shocking here in Maine. I don't think we have too many of those. But maybe, what if? Or always grew up with the, you know, well, you just step out of here and get hit by a bus. Now, John was a bus driver. I asked him about that. I said, how many people, I grew up always hearing, well, what if you get stepped out and got hit by a bus? Well, I don't think bus drivers are that bad, usually. But always watch out for the fearful bus driver that's out and about, right? We carry this over in other things in our lives. What if all these supposes, and Moses starts throwing out all these hypotheticals. Here he was, just a few minutes ago, standing before the burning bush with the power of God in front of him. And he's worried about all these hypotheticals. We turn around and look at these doubts. And the first thing he starts looking at, he says, what about his past mistakes? Think about this. Moses, when he left Egypt, right, 40 years ago, he thought he was going to be the tough guy. And remember he went out and he killed the Egyptian? Right? He goes, oh, I'm going to defend the Hebrew. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to show him what a hero I am. I'm going to step out. And he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the grain, and he said, okay, now I'm doing the work. Well, the next day, the Hebrews were like, oh, are you going to kill us now? And Pharaoh found out and he took off. Right? Last time he was there, things didn't go too well. And I think sometimes what happens in our lives, when we feel God's calling in our lives, when He calls us from this world and onto Himself, we get overwhelmed by all these doubts of our past mistakes. You know, I've tried this before and it didn't work out. Why should I try again? Right? I've tried to change, I've tried to do this, and I've tried to give this up, and I've tried to be this, and it just hasn't worked out. And so I just give up trying altogether. I'm thankful that Jesus says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That God is the God of the second, third, fourth, fifth chance in our lives. And when God calls us, He can stir within us to follow Him and do what He wants us to do. You know, we all make mistakes. We all have messed up. Right? Sometimes it's big. But we don't have to be defined by that. Right? Moses left Egypt running for his life with his tail between his legs. And wait a minute, God, you want to send me back there? God says, yeah. How about this? How about our insecurities? How about our insecurities? God, this is going to get me out of my comfort zone. I like my comfort zone. You know why? Because it's comfy. Right? I got things figured out. I know how it's going to go. And if I change things, if I do this, I don't know the outcome. I don't know if I can. And we start having all these doubts and these insecurities start waving over us. Because some of us have been told that we can't do certain things. Right? Maybe we've been told this our whole life. Yet when God calls us, He is able to bring us beyond these things. And I love this because here, you know, you just know, what if I go down there, right? And I go down there and I talk to them and they don't listen to me, right? Because last time I was down there and I talked to the Hebrews, they were afraid that I was going to kill them, right? They weren't accepting me. Here we have all these doubts and here we have all these mistakes that I made in the past. I didn't do it right the first time. Now you want me to go back down here after all these times? And then this insecurity of God, I can't do this on my own. And God says, you're not doing it on your own. He says, what's in your hand? He says, a rod. He goes, well, take that rod and throw it down. And he throws it down and it turns into a snake. How many guys like snakes? Now you figure a rod, you know, the shepherd's rod, if that turns into a snake, so we're talking a 6-foot snake. Now snakes don't bother me. Is anyone here just does not like snakes? We got a few of you. We're doing a vacation Bible school, and the theme was desert. And so I went down to one of the local pet stores, and I said, it'd be really great if on the closing program, if we had like a whole bunch of desert kind of critters. And this person came up, and they had all types of lizards. And she was like, no. And they had tarantulas, and they had all these type of things. And we told the kids. The kids were all excited. And the big thing was, she had an 8-foot python that she was going to bring. And I was all excited. So I was telling the kids, well, I had two ladies that were helping with snacks. And I mentioned that we're going to do this, and both of them cornered me after I had just announced all this. They said, Pastor, did you just say you're bringing a snake into this church? And I was like, yeah, isn't it going to be so cool? And she goes, I quit. I said, oh, come on. She goes, I said, look, you can just come and, you know, stay in back. And she's like, if you bring a snake in there, she goes, I'm not going to leave the kitchen. And the kitchen was downstairs in the furthest corner of the building. She goes, I won't leave that. I said, oh, yeah, come on, it's not that bad. And she's just like, And so the closing program, the kids were all excited, and we brought all the lizards and all that on. And at the end of it, they brought out this big mite python. And they're really cool. And they shook and they wrapped the snake around me. And they were taking pictures, and all, this is wonderful, and this is great. And then it came to taking the snake off, and the snake decided it didn't want to be taken off. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh. Because I don't always think things through. And if a boa does not want to come off you, it's not coming off you. It is strong. And actually, I was like wiggling and don't do that because it started to squeeze up. And I got a whole bunch of kids, so I had to act real tough and brave. And like, hey kids, this is getting kind of fun. And the lady's like, just relax. And it took us about 15 minutes to get the snake kind of rolled off. And it's like, okay, that was wonderful. Throw it on your rod. And it turns into a snake. And I love what the passage says here. And Moses did what? He ran off, right? How many are like, yeah, Moses, the best thing Moses did, right? No. Whoa. Now we don't know, you know, whether it's a rod, it was in his hand, it was available, and it looked like a snake, so God turned into a snake. Some speculate that because of Egypt, they worshipped the snake as a deity. If you look at like the pharaohs, you'll see like the snake hair dress. And so maybe it's symbolic of God is more powerful than Egypt. That's possible. It could be as well that Moses didn't like snakes. And he turns around and said, grab it. And Moses does. And it turns back into the rod. That insecurity. God is greater than any problem that you can have. God is greater than any fear you can have. If God has called you, He will accomplish things through you. But we get caught up on our insecurities. Right? And he takes Moses and tells him to put his hand into his robe, and he pulls it out, and it's leprous. He's like, oh, wow. He puts it back in and heals it. And all these issues, whether it's external fears or maybe it's health, God is greater than all that. And we get fearful. And in here, our insecurities take hold of us and overpower us. How about this? How about your present life? And I think this is a real struggle a lot of Christians go, because they're like, you know what? If I get sold out for God, if I get committed to God, what's God going to ask me to give up? I remember we were at a missions conference. I mean, some missionaries come and share. And a lady talked to me afterwards. She goes, I really feel like God just wants to get a hold of my life and wants to use me. I'm like, great. She goes, yeah, but I'm afraid He's going to send me somewhere and I don't want to go. Right? I don't want to go to Africa. I like it here. And if I surrender and tell God I'll do whatever you want me to do, He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Right? You ever been that way? And I told her, I said, you know what? If you surrender to the Lord, I believe with my heart that God will change your desires. He'll change your desires. That in our lives, that, you know, we're told to, you know, pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and I'll change and I'll do this. And what I found probably the most effective thing is, Lord, change my appetite. Take away the desires of this world. Take away my desire for sin. Take away my, right? Change the appetite. I love our McDonald's food. Anyone else like fast food? You know, I could eat morning, noon, and night, eat burgers all the time, not a problem at all. Well, it's not good for you. And it's funny because probably within the last 5-6 years, and I think it's just an age thing, because I think your body just says enough. Right? Because I remember this, because I was, like I said, I'm a fast food kind of guy. You know? And my thought was, well, you know, look, if these foods had preservatives, they'll keep me young. I don't know if it works that way or not, but I'm like, oh, you know, it preserves that. Right? Someone said they dug up a hot dog that was in the ground for like 30 years and it looked the same. I figured it would do the same thing to me. I'll look the same. I don't think it works that way. But I remember a couple of years ago going through, and I was really feeling, I got to eat better, and all this stuff isn't good for me. And I remember going through drive through and taking a bite of a burger, because I was excited. I was like, oh. And it was like, ugh. It didn't taste that good. I'm like, God, what happened? And then after I ate it, I'm like, I didn't feel quite so good. Right? Now, I still eat some fast food, but not nearly as much as I used to. But it wasn't really... It's amazing what happened was my appetite changed. My desires changed. And as we come to God and turn around and we look at what we have in this world, but when we start looking at what the Lord has and what He has in store for us as He calls us, Lord, change my appetites. And You'll give me the desires of my heart. Truly, You'll give me the desires. Because He's changed my desires. He brings me into where I want what He wants. I want to please Him. It doesn't become a chore. And the things from this world, the doubts we have of what we're going to give up, folks, what we gain is so much better than anything we would give up in this world. Then Moses kicks into the next thing, because we have our doubts. But the next thing is excuses. Excuses. My wife will tell you, she's back in the room now. No one tell her I talked about us. But we have excuses. I am good. I don't call them excuses. I give them reasons. Right? I have a lot of reasons. Because that sounds so much more spiritual than having excuses. I remember we had a professor always said, well, you know the difference between an excuse and a reason. A reason is what I give you, an excuse is what you give me. It's the same thing. But we look for excuses. Take a look at what goes on in the text here. Right? Picking up in verse 10, it says, Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before since you have spoken to your servant, but I am a slow speech and a slow tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you should say. Think about this. Moses, go. And Moses comes up and says, God, I would really like to, but you got the wrong guy. He goes, I'm slow of a speech. Now, probably some of you wish I was slow of speech. I'm a little quick of tongue. But Moses is like, I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. I stammer on my words. And Lord, it's a good cause. It's a good purpose. But I'm not your guy. You ever done that? And Moses goes on. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Right? As we make excuses, we turn on God, this is a good cause, this is a good purpose. Somebody needs to do it. But not me. It's an old Southern gospel song. All the good things that nobody did. I won't sing that for you this morning. But talk about all these things that can be done in our community, in our church. But no one's willing to do it. And we make excuses. And God tells Moses, well, wait a minute. Wait. Who made your mouth? Well, obviously the answer is, God, you did. Now, don't you think I am able? Don't you think I am able? And Moses says, you know what? Pick somebody else. I love that, right? Choose anyone else but me. And God's like, no, you're the one I picked. Well, God, you made a mistake. Say that out loud, because we know God doesn't make mistakes, right? So the Lord was angry. His anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron your Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth to you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand, and you shall do the signs. We make excuses. First one is we need to realize that big part of it, all this was going on didn't hinge on how good Moses spoke. Right? This Moses is standing before the burning bush, this awesomeness where he had to take his shoes off because it was holy ground in the presence of God. And he turns around and says, not me. Because he was fearful of what his abilities were. Right? But it's not about your abilities, it's about your willingness. Isaiah had a similar circumstance before God. And his desire was, Here I am, Lord, send me. Our neighbors, those we work with, those around us, need to know about the Lord. They need to see the Lord's love in action. He needs to see it from us. And we're like, You got the wrong guy, God. And this is the same God who just turned a rod into a snake. What is too hard for him? Because it's not about us. It's not about what I can and what I cannot do. And I know over the years I've done a lot of things that I said I shouldn't do. Because I am not the most gifted, most talented person. person around. Not at all. But over the years, my desire has been, Lord, I'm willing. What needs to be done? And I'll do it. And if when I get past my abilities and I have to rely on God, it's not by my power, it's not by my might, it's by His. And we tend to want to focus on our limitations. Right? Moses is like, well, I'm not a very eloquent spokesman. Right? And the whole scope of things, think about this. Here's the job. I want you to go down and you're going to confront Pharaoh and you're going to lead Israel out of Egypt. You're going to deliver them and you're going to bring them into the wilderness. You're going to do all these things. These are all real big things. And Moses brings it all the way down to, wait a minute, I stutter when I speak. I slur my ushers. Right? Wait a minute. This is what God is doing, and I want to bring it down to one little point, one little miss. And God is more powerful than all of that. Folks, if we try to give excuses to God, it just doesn't work. Because it's not by our power, it's not by our might. Though while I am limited, God is limitless. And there's nothing He can't do. All we got to do is be willing vessels, and the excuses go away. Second part, He turns around and says, you know what? We're not alone. We're not alone. You know, as we turn away from this world and turn unto God, if we follow Him and do His will and seek out Him, we need to realize that God has not designed it all to fall on one person in here. God wants us to work together. I'm so thankful for a church body that I know I'm not alone. That when I need prayer, the body is there to encourage and bless along the way. That when I hurt, I don't have to hurt all by myself. I have those around me. We're not in this alone. And God turns around and says, you know what? Okay, fine. You know your brother Aaron? Yeah. He's a smooth talker. He's coming right now. Yeah, I love how God kind of cuts through all the excuses. Right? God's like, hey, I can do this. You just need to be willing. Last part of this chapter, after we put off our doubts and after we give up our excuses, God finally calls us to this area of commitment where we're sold out. Moses, at this point, he's kind of wrestled with God, right? He's given, laid out his doubts. He's given his excuses. God's not taking no for an answer. So finally, Moses says, okay, I'll go. And Moses starts severing his ties. Take a look. In verse 18, he says, so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please, let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said, go in peace. We see him starting to severing his ties. He comes up to his father-in-law and says, okay, Dad, I'm out of here. Right? I gotta go. On the way there, he turns around and says, it came to pass on the way at the encampment, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. And she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. It's interesting, you know, Moses finally makes that commitment, right? He says, okay, God, I've run out of excuses. All my doubts, you've kind of shot those out of the water. I'm going to go. And in our lives, when we turn around and surrender to the Lord, and He starts bringing us to the point of commitment, there's no turning back, right? When I'm going to step up and I'm going to say, or I'm going to do, whatever it is in your life, God is calling you. When you take those steps, of commitment, he calls us to leave maybe what was familiar to us. Right? All these comfortable things. You know, I'm amazed over the years that so many people go back to even the bad things that they are familiar with. People will slip back into old lifestyles that they know is not good for them. Right? People will slip back into the old routine and the old habits and slip it into the old friendships. They'll slip into all these things and they know it's wrong for them. They know it's harmful to them, right? But they just aren't willing to give up the comfort. And maybe when God calls us in His life, when we become sold out for Him, He's going to call us to leave the familiar things. Jethro, his father-in-law, Moses had been there for 40 years. You know, what if God asked you to pack up and go? He said, well, I've lived here for all my life. God, I'll serve you anywhere, but it has to be here. Right? Maybe it's a change of venue. Maybe it's a change of job. Maybe it's a change of circumstances. Right? Maybe it's a change of schedule. Lord, I'd love to serve you. I'd love to do what you want, but I can't fit it into my schedule. Well, maybe God wants us to leave that familiar schedule and change things up to follow Him. The last verse we looked at here is funny because Moses is leaving now. And as he's leaving, the Bible says that God tried to kill Moses. Wait a minute. God, you just called Moses. Why are you trying to kill him, right? Like, whoa. As Moses is dying, I don't know if it was the disease, I don't know the process in which God was doing this, but it became quite obvious to his wife what was going on. Because Moses was a Jew. And the sign for the Jews was to circumcise their males. Moses was circumcised. We know that he grew up at home. His mom kept him for 3 months. On the eighth day after the boy was born, he was supposed to be circumcised as a sign that this is a holy child unto God. Well, Moses had settled into a foreign land with a foreign wife. And we come down to this point where his son wasn't circumcised. Moses wasn't even obedient to himself of what he was supposed to be doing before God. And so in the process, it became obvious that Moses wasn't in compliance to the very laws of God. So as soon as his wife circumcised the child, and she didn't not like this, the Bible says she took the foreskin and she threw it and says, "You're a bloody husband to me. Look what you've made me do." Folks, in our lives, as we call out to God, what He wants from us is obedience. Here is Moses. How is Moses supposed to lead? How is Moses supposed to be an example when he's not obedient to God Himself? And I think sometimes when God calls us, when we feel like God wants all of us, He wants us to surrender our wills to Him, one of the things that holds us back is like, oh, I have to live what I preach. How can I share God's love with someone if I'm not showing God's love? Right? How can I tell someone to invite someone to church when I don't go to church? Right? How can I live up? How can I be a hypocrite in my own life? And yet feel like I need to be effective for God. And God stepped in and said, "Moses, no. If you're going to go down and you're going to lead, if you're going to have an impact, then you have to obey." And all of our lives, as we follow Him, as we turn from this world, as we head home, each one of us needs to be obedient to the Lord, to what the Lord wants us to have. And the last thing we see is this idea of this focus on worship. Because I want to take a look at what happened in Moses' life. So Moses picks up, right? He's better now. He's got his house in order. He's heading down. He goes down there. And all these supposes, right? Suppose they don't believe me. Suppose they do this. All these doubts and fears all faded away. God took care of all of that. And he shared, he told the message that God has heard your cry, that God's going to deliver you from the Egyptians. We're heading home. Who's with me? Verse 31 says, so the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Folks, there is no greater joy for a servant of the Lord to see people's lives get changed for God. Just yesterday we had a meeting for CEF, or our Good News Club. Pray for us. In October we start going back into the schools, and every Friday we'll be doing Bible stories and lessons with the kids. And it is an exciting time because some of these kids have never heard. And I'm doing the Bible stories for the younger kids, and I just love how they just hang on, because these are stories they haven't heard before. And I always leave them with a little cliffhanger each week. And the kids are like, no! I want to hear all of it! You know, I'm like, wow, that is so cool. You know? It'd be amazing if, you know, you all at church, if I turn around and say, well, next week, and you guys were like, no, no, Pastor, keep going, keep going! Yeah, that's not going to happen. People are like, alrighty, lunch is after this. I'm hungry. But to rejoice and worship in what the Lord is doing. And folks, as we are following Him, we are obedient. It is an amazing thing when you share the love of Christ with someone and they listen. Years ago, I was going through a series and was challenging the folks, and this lady really took that challenge to heart, and she goes, okay, God, I know you want me to be a witness. And so she's like, okay, Lord, she was kind of a shy person, and she's like, okay, Lord, if you give me an opportunity to speak to someone, I'll do it. And so she's telling me, and she goes, well, I went to my workplace, and there's an opportunity in the lunchroom. It was just me and this other lady, and we started talking, and she started sharing some of her problems, and I just felt God saying, say something. And she was like, this is it. This is that moment. Right? And she kind of, I was like, and she went through that little tug of war. But she'd already resolved, okay, Lord, if you give me an opportunity, she goes, here's the opportunity. And so she did. She shared just a little bit, and the lady started asking her questions. And so, I got a phone call that night. And she goes, Pastor, I did it. I shared. She goes, but now the person wants to know more. And I don't know what the answer is. And she goes, Pastor, you got mail? I said, yeah, sure. She goes, I have all these questions. So she went through all these questions this lady asked. And so we went through and talked and shared and all this. And she goes, okay. And so she goes, I'm ready for tomorrow. So the next day at lunch, she was with this lady. And she went through some of her questions, what we talked about. And then she called me up the next day. She goes, now she's got more questions. I said, oh. She goes, yeah. She goes, it's so weird because I didn't realize what this would turn into. She goes, but it is so cool to see what God's doing. And I'm like, you're on the right path. Right? And in here, at the end of all this struggle and all this doubt and all these excuses, it all came down to Moses being obedient and people responding to God. And he got to share with people that God heard them. That God was going to answer. God would take care. And the people rejoiced over that. Folks, people want to hear about God. Not everyone. But as we are obedient and following Him and seeking Him out, God will take care and He will bless. He will do all these things as we follow Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord. Lord, put aside our doubts, put aside our fears, Lord, our excuses, and Lord, help us to seek You and be obedient to what You want us to do, Lord. And You will be praised. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.